Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The mayor of Tshwane, Dr. Nasipi Moya, has gone public in saying that the first phase of the purification project in Hammanskraal has been completed. She has given the green light on the safety of the water supplied from the Mogalies Klipdrift water treatment plant, and you know, she looked very, very pleased on television for having been able to say this. But perhaps the moment of complete chutzpah was her ex tweet, which said, "I had made a commitment that I would be the first to attest to the safety of the water in Hammanskraal. I have kept my promise." At City Tshwane. To unpack the cheek, arrogance perhaps, of such an utterance is a man who worked for the previous mayor, DA Mayor Celia Brunk, in Tshwane, and has been on the council, working for the council for 7 years, Jordan Griffiths. Jordan, welcome back to Chai FM. I think it's been some years since we last had you.
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Ari. I was on here, I can't remember, a while back. Yeah. I can't even remember what the interview was about, but also an article that I wrote. It may have been during COVID. I did a lot of writing during COVID as well.
Yeah. Okay.
It's lovely to be back, and thanks for hosting.
Nice to have you. I approached you because of the article you read that appeared in Politics Web, either on the weekend or on Monday. The first thing you mentioned is the 7 years in the mayor's office, first 3 as policy advisor and 4 as chief of staff. Just first question, generally, what was your range of experience over that year, that period of having to deal with municipal politics in Tshwane?
Sure. So I was actually initially elected as a proportional representative councillor for the DA in 2016. And I spent 1 year as a DA PR counselor. And I found very quickly that being a counselor and trying to influence government was very difficult. And because at that point in 2016, the DA had taken government in what was a minority coalition government, it was quite apparent to me that we needed support in the government itself. Mm. And so I was recruited into Solly Msimanga's office in 2017 as a policy advisor. And I was there in the mayor's office from that period onwards. I ultimately, over the course of my time in the mayor's office, I worked through Solly Msimanga's term, Stevens Mokgalapa's term, the ANC administrators. I was in there when Randall Williams came back in November 2020, just at the end of COVID. Mayor Williams made me his chief of staff at that point. I served with him up until the 2021 local government election, where he was re-elected. I was there when he then later resigned. I was there when we had the 10-day mayor who came in, Makwarela, who was a cataclysmic disaster. And then I was there when Celia Brink came in as well. And Celia kept me on as his chief of staff. So I've served in total through, I think, about 5 mayors and 1 set of ANC administrators, which is quite quite lucky if you're a political staffer, because generally you move out with the political principle themselves, depending on your role or skill set or what value you add. So I've had quite a long career in particularly the city of Tshwane, and probably would regard myself as a relative specialist in terms of local government politics, particularly in political offices and at the highest level. But broadly, maybe just to answer your question quickly before you come, broadly, one of the things that I got a really bird's eye view to is coalition politics. I saw it from 2016 in minority government with the DA up until 2021, where the DA had no clear majority in Tshwane and had to rely sometimes on the EFF to help it approve things in council, which ultimately turned out to be a disaster later in the term and became incredibly difficult, particularly with regards to appointments of senior managers, city managers, etc. This hamstrung us completely. And I was there post-2021 with the first sort of concrete coalition multi-party government, which included Action SA, the VF, the ACDP, and the IFP, a coalition of about 109 seats out of the 214 seats in Swan, which allowed us to govern. And so I saw that also then collapse when Action SA betrayed that coalition to then join an ANC-EFF-led coalition. Mm-hmm. So broadly, that is my kind of experience in the city. I've seen lots of good and lots of bad.
You raise a point in your article that essentially that included a front row seat to the failure, frustration and tragedy surrounding the Rooival wastewater treatment plant and the provision of clean water to Gammanskraal. Do you want to give us an idea of what that experience was like for, I suppose, pretty much until Celia Brink became the mayor?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, firstly, the Rooival wastewater treatment plant was identified as being likely to break down in as far back as 2005. And even in 2011, environmental warnings were issued to the city to say, this plant is mechanically overloaded. You need to address it fast. Mm. And to give you an idea, Rooival is essentially a central point for the majority of the city's wastewater treatment. Mm-hmm. So much of what the city of Swanee produces in wastewater, what you're flushing down your drains, heads towards Rooival in the far north of the city where it's processed. And it actually, if you speak to people in Gammanskraal, they'll tell you that their water quality started declining in the 2000s. Mm. In fact, many stopped drinking the water post-2010. And what's curious is that for this entire period, no funding was directed towards Rooival at all. Like, one of the things that I historically assessed on the ANC and local government is they avoided any maintenance on major projects because they were very desperate to build and generate new things. Mm. So something like a wastewater treatment plant and prioritizing it was like not even on the radar. So when Sonny Msimanga came in 2016, he had one of his campaign promises was that we're going to refurbish Rooival wastewater treatment plant because at that point, the water coming out of the taps of people of Gammanskraal was brown. It was dirty at 2016. It's already in the years leading up to that, water tankers were in place in before 2016. The ANC government had just decided to deploy water tankers to Rooival, to Gammanskraal, and it basically not even thought about prioritizing Rooival. So Sonny Msimanga was the first mayor to say, we need to allocate budget for Rooival. At which point it became apparent that that amount of budget would be in the scale of the hundreds of millions, actually billions, to actually take that project to where it needed to go. And it was during his term that an allocation was made to Rooival. He didn't see the appointment of the contractor. He managed to ensure that the line item appeared on the budget before he resigned. Mm. And thereafter, Stevens Mokgalapa came in, and the tender for that refurbishment was then awarded when Stevens Mokgalapa was mayor. Stevens Mokgalapa would later leave the office in disgrace after having relations with a fellow MMC in offices, which went horribly.
Remember paid. That, yeah.
But yeah, the challenge with Gammanskraal is that the officials were telling us and had been telling us that the only way to provide clean water to the people of Gammanskraal was through the refurbishment of Rooival, which was going to be a multi-year, multi-hundred million rand project. Mm. So effectively it was like, well, the ship sailed, that place is totally stuffed, we've got to fix it, we're going to have to provide water tankers indefinitely until it's fixed, and it's going to be a multi-year project. And when I say, like, phase one of Rooival, there needs to be three phases. Phase one costs 450 million rand mm-hmm. to fix. So when that first tender was awarded, an amount of 150 million rand was set aside to it, and unfortunately the officials in the city of Tshwane awarded it to a consortium which included Blackhead Consulting, Edwin Soldi's consortium. And almost within a year and a half of that award happening, they did work, they began actual work at the site. That consortium went to pieces. Mm. Money was paid for work, and effectively the first phase of that project went to pieces, and we had to start again. And obviously, while you're doing this, water is still being provided in water tankers with an amount of about 60 million rand a year, 5 million rand a month to the people of Gammanskraal. So there's a whole economy there that's also obviously in that space. And that was around, 2019, when that went pear-shaped. The city was subsequently placed under administration during 2020, unlawfully by the ANC, by the provincial government, for a period of 8 months. I was heavily involved in also trying to fight that, even though I was employed in the city, in explaining why it was illegal and highlighting that in the press. They also just basically ignored this issue. Mayor Williams came back in the end of 2020, and we reinvigorated this, began the process of terminating the previous tender, because you then had to terminate the previous tender before you can award a new tender to get contractors on site. And then Mayor Williams subsequently left the office. Now, obviously, during all of this time, Hammanskraal Water is a political hot potato, because people are going, how can you not provide clean water to these people? You've got videos. I remember in the run-up to the 2021 election, it was a very strong issue that was being run by many political parties. It wasn't a new issue, and Mayor Williams was very frank about that. It was like, this isn't new. It's been like this. We know it's terrible. It's unacceptable. It needs to be, you know, it needs to be addressed. These are the process steps we are doing it. But, of course, people are asking you, and this is the question I couldn't ask the chief of staff, is when are we going to have clean water? And your answer is like, I don't know. I don't know. Never answer that question. When are we going to have it? I was like, I don't, like, being told by officials 3 to 4 years when Roy, like, this is the only option we had. And so Mayor Williams subsequently had to resign from the city after an audit failing. And thereafter, Mayor Brink came in, and he was quite adamant that, like, the status quo on Hammanskraal had to change. There had to be something. And he ultimately met with the minister, Senzo Mchunu, at a breakaway during an actual water and sanitation conference in Cape Town at the beginning of last year, not long after he was elected, around, like, I think April 2020, not last year, the year before, around April 2023, somewhere there. Mm-hmm. And the minister at the time then said something to him that Bakhali's Water, which is a bulk water distributor, that supplies water in parts of the city, but actually in many of the rural municipalities towards the other neighboring provinces, had considered maybe they could pull the package plant, a mini water treatment plant, if that makes sense, which could effectively sideline the water supply that's coming into Hammanskraal from the timber plant. Now, very quickly, Rooibal is a wastewater treatment plant. It takes wastewater, it treats it to a certain level. It pumps that water into the Arpies River. Down from the Arpies River, downwater from the Arpies River, is a place called Temba Water Treatment Plant. Temba extracts water from the Arpies, runs it through its treatment, and then pipes that water to households in Hammanskraal. So you can understand the problem. Rooibal is mechanically overloaded. It can only treat the water it receives to a certain standard, which is not the standard it should be, before it has to release it into the Arpies. So it effectively pollutes the Arpies. Temba draws that water, which it then has to try to purify, which it cannot, and provides effectively non-potable water to Hammanskraal residents, water that you cannot drink, but you could use for other purposes, such as washing or watering your cars. But you can't cook with it, you can't drink with it, which is part of the problem. So the Makhali's plant would effectively cut out Temba. So Makhali's would be piped into the main water lines that Temba pumps water into. And that water that Temba is extracting would then no longer be piped into Hammanskraal households. And that would be worked out in phases. And so when Sadia came back to me and said, there's this idea of a package plant in April 2023, I said to him, I've never heard of this option. Never. It's never been presented. Makhali's Water isn't an entity of the city of Tshwane. They work with national government. At no point did anyone reach out to us and said, listen, this can happen. So he said, we have to pursue this and we have to go for this. Tragedy then struck when during the months of, I think it was May 2023, like a cholera case emerged in Hammanskraal. And at that cholera case, that first case emerged, and I immediately contacted the mayor and I said to him, there's high risk here. I don't know what's happening, but there's high risk. We don't know where this is. And then it became two cases and then three cases. And then it spread. And we spent almost all of that period in daily meetings with our health teams, with provincial health, trying to find out what had happened. And people started dying, which was incredibly, incredibly tragic and sad. obviously, politically, some people were trying to say, no, it's the water and that's coming out of it. It was never the water coming out of Royal or Temba. We know that. Multiple tests. If, you know, if water was being piped out of somewhere that was infected, you would know very quickly. You'd be able to trace it. But there were massive concerns. There were concerns that a water tanker had been contaminated that is providing water in the area, which we could never trace. And there were concerns that there's aspects of Harmans Kraal that are under tribal authority, which include pit latrines.
Mm.
And there was concern that those pit latrines could have contaminated a water supply anyway. But it was incredibly difficult. And specialists would tell you that often tracing the outbreak or the source of a cholera outbreak is incredibly difficult. But nonetheless, we did our best to try and find out exactly where it could do. You isolate patients, you speak to patients who are sick. Who did they speak to? Where did they go? You try triangulate their movements, look at the geographical spread and assess where it may have come from. But we never isolated where the source was. And ultimately, the outbreak ceased, but it came at a massive cost. I think over about 32 people died across Gauteng. The majority of them were in Tshwane. And we were very close to that. We're very close to that because you can't not be.
Mm.
So I wrote reports for the individual families, which would ensure that there were funds released to them in order to help them with funeral costs, this kind of stuff. Celia, and his team often tried to meet with families. In one instance, I drove with him to Jubilee Hospital, the hospital in Harmans Kraal, where the majority of patients were there, to meet with the minister and various other people. When we got there, there was a politically charged mob that was then sent to disrupt us from getting in. In fact, we were assaulted and we had to then leave. So it was really, really a very difficult time. I'd say probably the hardest in my governmental career was during that period when we had to deal with the Harmans cholera crisis. It was really, really difficult. And after that, it was like a breaking point. Celia got together with the minister. A clear timeline was put together on this Mahali's package plant. And the intention was that by October 2024, effectively a year after this had happened, within 18 months, that package plant would be built and would be online and would be funded by the National Department of Water and Sanitation, which I still had a hard time believing. I was very skeptical of this matter. So over time, during the course of the end of 2023 and 2024, we spent a lot of our time speaking to residents in Harmans Kraal. Part of that was saying to them, we are going to also historically write off your bills, your water bills. You are going to get new meters and they're going to be piped with water from Mahali's water because the city would now need to pay Mahali's water for that bulk water. So you needed to make sure that your billing to those households was rock solid. Otherwise, you'd have other problems later in history. And there was a systematic campaign that we started in 2024. So that very much was where we were. And before that Mahali's plant could come online in October 2024, Celia's Brink was removed from office in September of last year, literally a month before that Mahali's plant came online.
The current mayor was the deputy mayor, Action SA, Dr. Nazipa Moya. What role, if any, did she play in this whole process over the period that she was in office? Was she involved?
Yeah, so the current mayor only joined as the deputy mayor in, I think, January or February of 2024, at which point this project was already halfway through its implementation.
Mm-hmm.
So because it was also a matter that was important to her, she was part of the oversight team that was assigned along with MMC Temba Forsey, who was in charge of utilities and water. And so she would join and kind of keep tracking on the oversight.
Mm-hmm.
But at a basic sort of political directional level, I mean, she had no fundamental role at all.
Mm-hmm.
No fundamental role. She would just check to make sure that everything is happening, along with the mayor, who was also heavily involved. But that was the extent of her involvement.
So, as I said, a moment of chutzpah that she sort of tried to create the impression that she's delivering first tranche of clean water to the area.
Desperate politicking by yourself and by Action SA. I think they must think that the majority of South Africans are idiots if they think they're going to believe that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the case. I think they're very clearly thrown out a line that a lot of people aren't biting, but they're desperate to try and push that on. And it's very important that we set the history right.
Mm.
Like you can't let narratives like this go unchallenged.
Right.
The facts are they weren't there. They just weren't there.
There are many charge issues I could raise or and discuss with you, but given time constraints, I'll just ask a general point about your advice on coalition governance, particularly given the fact that we now are in coalition, essentially a coalition government in nationally.
I mean, a few key things. There's a legislative gap that needs to be addressed. The first is we need to introduce thresholds for proportional representation in local government of at least 2% to prevent small parties from also derailing coalitions, as they sometimes do.
Mm-hmm.
You need to also create a legislative environment where coalition agreements are binding to a certain degree and extent so that people don't just throw them out the window when they don't like them. And also regulations on preventing motions of no confidence whenever anyone pleases, which is currently the status quo in local government. And this creates massive issues. The personalities and politics of political parties, unfortunately, you'll never be able to legislate for that. But there are significant challenges. And in local government, executive mayors have a lot of power, a lot of power. Mm. They are not over, they are not ceremonial, as many think mayors may be in parts of the world, or they are in parts of the world. They have executive functions, even legislatively prescribed duties.
Right.
And so unless you also create legislation that protects that space, we're going to have serious problems in local government in the future if we keep chopping and changing. And here's my view. I do not believe the coalition in Tshwane will last. I do not believe it will last because Action SA is not a majority party in Tshwane. And the ANC will ultimately evaluate this and at some point will decide they want to be the mayor in Tshwane.
Mm.
And they may remove Moya before she even finishes her term in the next local government elections, because the ANC's got a campaign in Tshwane.
Yeah.
They can't campaign behind a mayor that's not their mayor.
Mm.
So, you know, this marriage will also burn out, I have no doubt. Mm. And that's because it's built purely around a, like, get him out. It was built like, get Celia out, want him out, doing well, get him out, and then we'll reset. But I believe that reckoning will still come, and it won't last.
Well, I think it actually makes next year's elections actually take on an importance, despite being so close, or perhaps because it's so close to the national election that changed the world, shall we say, it's going to be absolutely fascinating. One last point before you go. Where are you now?
So I transitioned quite luckily and quickly. I spent a month just resting before I was approached by the Deputy Minister of Finance, Ashil Saropin, and he asked me to go join his team. So I work now as the private secretary and advisor to Deputy Minister Saropin in the National Treasury in the Department of Finance, which is quite interesting. National Treasury is a really strong governmental institution, so I'm quite proud to be working there and the work that they do. And obviously there's big work ahead of us. The State of the Nation is approaching, the National Budget Speech is approaching. These are two of the biggest policy instruments or directives of the year. And obviously I'm assisting a member of the GNU, who's a Democratic Alliance deputy minister. And it's really important that the spirit of the GNU is captured in these key policy moments of the year.
Mm.
So yeah, that's where I am now.
Jordan Griffiths, more power to your elbow. I don't think a month was long enough rest, but you know, that's all very well for me to say. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope we'll be together sooner rather than later.
Most welcome. Thank you, Sarah, and thank you to the team for having me.